Don Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I have to, we're gonna sort of take you across the pond here for this moment, because this is a story that I think a lot of people have been paying a lot of attention to here, because we got a lot going on here.
We do. Lots to pay attention to. Like the government shutdown, for example.
But the global markets have been watching this story out of England for the last 2.5 years, which is the Brexit vote. Remember, the Brexit vote happened, I think it was July of 2016. Mm-hmm. And it was a shocker that the people of Great Britain chose to exit from the EU. But they didn't really have a very good plan. Remember, there was a guy, that Boris guy with the, and again, guys named Boris. Too many guys named Boris involved in all of this. I just want to say that. So it seems that there was a years long campaign to get people to vote against the EU. Get out. We don't need it anymore. They're stealing from us. They're ripping us off, which is exactly the same thing, right, that you hear in American politics about NATO. Right. And you hear it about any of the other the NAFTA agreement treaties writ large. It's constantly they're ripping us off. We're doing the, you know, we're paying for everybody else. Why would we do that? Well, that was the exact same argument that was being made in England in the spring and summer of 2016. And by a very narrow margin, the British voted to exit the EU. So you had the Brexit. Problem is, they didn't have a plan for how to get out. And the plan changed. And all of a sudden, right after the vote, there were people who went, wait, what? Very similar to what happened in November of 2016 in the United States. Like, whoa, people start paying attention. People who didn't think about voting realize they should have, probably, if they didn't agree with it. And there has been a huge fight in England about this ever since. And so now, Theresa May, as people are having to say now, we have to relearn how to pronounce her name, who is the prime minister, who became the prime minister after this whole thing happened, has been trying to come up with a split the baby kind of a Brexit plan, and the whole thing has failed. And now what happens? Anne Applebaum is joining us, and she is with the Washington Post Global Opinion Desk and a columnist, Pulitzer Prize winner, I might add. And what does this mean now? There's going to be a no-confidence vote, right, for Theresa May? She may lose her job.
Yes. I mean, I think before getting into that, we should emphasize what an amazing loss it was. So she lost by more than 200 votes. It's the biggest loss for any government that anybody can remember. People going back to the 1920s to try and find a bigger government catastrophe. But even then, the numbers aren't quite as high. So it's really a big disaster. She's spent 2 years negotiating this deal. And the parliament, including hundreds of MPs from her own party, have rejected it. So it's a pretty big setback. And the strange thing is people voted against it, both because they want to stay in the EU, which a lot of people in the House of Commons in the British Parliament do, and because they thought the deal kept Britain too close to the EU, and they want a more complete kind of radical break with Europe. So the people voting against it were on both sides. This was a kind of, as you said, split the difference kind of deal. But what that means is that now the vote has happened, we're not any further along. And so, the people who want to stay in the EU are celebrating because they think maybe this will mean they can stay in the EU, and the people who want a total break are celebrating because they think maybe there'll be a total break. There's actually, we are not moved further along. We still don't know what's going to happen on March 29th when Britain is set to leave. It's a very bizarre situation. I mean, it's kind of an interesting parallel to our shutdown in the United States. It's kind of gridlock. Nobody can decide. Nobody can make up their mind. Nothing happens.
But this one in particular, let's remind everyone what happened here. This was a referendum, and the British people voted to essentially do an exit from the EU. And so Theresa May today, her point to the House was this, okay, I get it. You guys don't support this deal, but you're not telling us what you do support, to your point about the government shutdown. We don't have an answer. What do you want to do? And then she asked the question, do you intend to honor the decision of the British people? Because that's exactly where she's been. She's members of her own party even who don't back that decision, and she doesn't have the backing. But where do you go from there? How do you honor that referendum, or do you? Do you have to?
It's complicated. I mean, there are a number of different options. One option would be, now that we're 2 years in and we have the deal on the table, one vote option would be to have another referendum. And there is a big campaign now to have that. And the tricky thing is that if there were to be one, I mean, much depends on how the question is written, it looks like the British would now vote to remain. So, you know, the problem with referendums is that people change their minds. And that's one of the issues underlying this, is the British didn't, they exited from their parliamentary democracy, they went for a referendum, and now they, you know, they're stuck in an odd trap where the, you know, Parliament doesn't want to override the referendum, but what does a referendum mean? And it's become quite complicated. I mean, I think one of the things that might happen is that the House, there's a group inside the House of Commons that might come up with some kind of cross-party deal that everybody could accept. That's one, you know, since the government couldn't do it, some MPs might try to do it. There will be a push for a referendum from some people. And then there will be others who will want the kind of the clock to tick out and Britain to crash out, which would mean leaving the European Union with no trade agreements, no arrangements. Britain is part of literally dozens of institutions, from law enforcement to academic and scientific and so on. And it would just lose all of those overnight. And so nobody even really knows what that would mean.
And it has ramifications for us, because our biggest security partner in the world is England.
Yep.
Without question. Mm-hmm. In terms of how we see the world between the British intelligence services and our own intelligence services, it's the network that literally covers the entire globe. And it is, and you know, go back to the mythology of James Bond, it's really true. It still holds to this very day that we are the best partners for that on a global basis. The other piece, the aviation industry is touched by this, because Airbus is that consortium that you were talking about, which is British Aerospace and all of these other companies that all kind of come together in Airbus. What does it mean for them? What does it mean for the continuing maintenance of aircraft, let alone new aircraft?
It could even be worse than that, although I think this is a piece of it that can be worked out. But actually, airplanes are allowed to land and fly in and out of Britain based on an EU agreement. So there was at one point fear that, you know, the planes wouldn't take off.
Right.
Almost every interaction that Britain has with the outside world in anything, whether it's economic or, as I said, scientific or anything else, right now goes by the EU.
There's another piece, and this is one of just something to think about that wasn't brought up very much in the whole Brexit campaign. And then once they did it, they realized what they had done, which is Northern Ireland, which is a British, you know, this it's owned by Britain, has a very large, fairly uncontrolled border with Ireland. Ireland is still in the EU.
So it has right now it has no border. There's no border with Ireland because they're both in the EU. There doesn't need to be a border. So there isn't a border.
So the question is, since there is an uncontrolled border there, and again, this kind of goes to the dynamics of what we're arguing about, is what happens with the economy between the Irish, the trade and such, between the Irish economy and the English economy, which is a very significant amount of trade that goes on there. And they hadn't really considered that. And what are the designations of those people moving back and forth? That's a big issue for them, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, well, that's actually turned out to be in the negotiation. It was an issue, as you say, nobody talked about it at all during the referendum campaign. But in the negotiations, that turned out to be the most important issue, because the Irish don't want to build a wall on the border. That's actually a lot of sensitivity about that, because there are some people in Northern Ireland who would like to be part of Ireland. And, of course, that's the origin of what was a long-running Irish Civil War. So one of the ways that the war finally ended was everybody said, look, we're all in the EU. We don't need a border anymore. We can just trade normally. And that kind of helped dissolve that conflict. And the fear is now that if you tried to rebuild a border across Ireland, you would restart the political conflict. And that is something that people have been afraid of.
Is Theresa May in jeopardy here herself in terms of being prime minister? There's this no confidence vote we hear about scheduled for tomorrow.
So people are saying, and I, you know, that the no confidence, that she will pass the no confidence vote because her party will vote for her, and she has a little coalition partner, actually Northern Irish coalition partner, who will also vote for her because they don't want a general election. So, you know, unless something changes between now and tomorrow, and I would really hate to make predictions that were too firm, it looks like she'll pass. I mean, larger question is, you know, if you've lost, you know, if you just suffered the biggest House of Commons loss in modern history, shouldn't you resign? And some people thought she might resign today, but she didn't. She implied actually today that she's going to try and hold another vote. You know, she's going to go back and talk to everybody some more and try and vote on it again.
Another parliamentary vote. In terms of a referendum. What is the likelihood of a second referendum here, do you think?
So she's saying she doesn't want it. And I think she doesn't want it because probably Remain would win. And this would then divide the Tory party and cause all kinds of chaos inside her political grouping. You know, so for that reason, I would say, you know, as long as she's in charge, it seems unlikely. However, you know, I talked to somebody from it's called the People's Vote campaign, the second referendum campaign a couple of days ago, and he said, you know, look, we're looking for a situation where we're the last option standing. Everything else fails. You know, they can't pass her deal. They don't want to have no deal. They can't pass any other kind of deal. It may be that they throw it out to, you know, they just say, okay, let's vote again, as a way of resolving the gridlock. It's not going to happen immediately, but it's not totally impossible.
All right. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Anne Applebaum from the Washington Post Global Opinions Columnist. It's not something that we're paying a ton of attention to here, but it has so many parallels to what's going on here.
Absolutely.
It's not eerie because in a lot of ways, it was planned. The internet research group that worked on getting into the bloodstream of social media in America, trying to divide us by you know, trying to encourage far left and far right activities here, did the exact same stuff to the British social media stream in the run up to the Brexit vote and got everybody going in different directions, scared them on. And they use the same techniques, getting them all whipped up about how everybody on the other side is out to get you, and whipping up conservative and liberal fears in England. And they did the same thing here. And it's Vladimir Putin laughing all the way to the bank.
Part of the reason there is growing nationalism and populism in both countries.
Right. So
this is it's a paralysis, and it's much worse than even our partial shutdown.
Yeah, because this will affect the markets. So watch for that over the next couple of days here, depending on what happens in England. So we'll get more analysis of that. But first, Kim Gordon, going to tell us what's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour.
Roe, multiple people have been shot in University Park.